Lord God, we want to thank you, as Amanda just said, for the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. It is a powerful word. A word that is a neat word if you're not a believer. But once you're a Christian, once we've understood the depth and the gravity of the sin that we were in, this is an immense word. It is a truly awesome word, which comes through a truly awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved, only Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've redeemed us. We thank you that you have destined us for that celestial city, that promised land one day. But Lord, we thank you that you haven't left us here on our own in the meantime to wander through this world on our own. We thank you that you have put your Spirit within us to guide us and to keep us, to convict us and reprove us and teach us as we read your word, as we sit under your word. But Lord, in addition to that, we thank you for the other believers who surround us, our brothers and sisters. We are truly a gift from you. And Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that we've just heard, the way that you have knit us together in community as believers. And Lord, that's such a postmodern word. It's cast around so much, community. But this is where true community is found, amongst believers. And Lord, I thank you for these care groups that are up and going. I pray for the ones that will soon be up and running. I pray for people here this morning. Lord, every one of us cannot live alone as a Christian. We need the fellowship and everything else that other believers have for us to grow in our relationship with you. So Lord, I pray that you bless this morning. I pray that those who feel the need to be in a small group, and perhaps even some of those who don't feel the need to be in a small group, would see that it is important that we fellowship, that we have this time together with our brothers and sisters, and you might cause us to think, this is something that you may be providing for us, for our growth and our sanctification, and even for our eternal security. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service now where we take time to ponder what your word has to say to us, I pray that you bless this time. Bless me, Lord, as a preacher who's not, I'm not without error, that's for sure, but your word is. So I pray that what comes off these altar lifts would just be in accord with your word. And Lord, impress that truth upon our hearts here this morning so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, are you a team player? Are you a team player? This has been one of the key questions that thousands of people have had to answer in interviews over the years. In fact, it's such a common question, it's become somewhat cliche during interviews. So there are other ways that people try to ask the same question. But no matter how the question is phrased or asked, the point is still the same. Do you work for yourself? Or do you work for all of us? Of course, everybody knows what the right answer is to this question, whether you believe it or not. This is why trained interviewers don't ask, are you a team player anymore, yes or no. Instead, they ask people to show examples of how we are team players and to give us a few examples of that in situations. And the question that I want to ask you this morning, where we are devoting this service to focus on care groups, the care groups you've just heard about, is this. Are we, as Christians, team players? Are you a team player in the church? Are you, am I, a team player in the church? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn over to chapter 12 with me. And starting at verse 14, I just want to read you a little portion of Scripture. If you don't have a Bible, this is on the front of your bulletins, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 14.
So the body is not one part, but it's many parts. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, but there is one body. In Alexander Dumas's novel, The Three Musketeers, the Musketeers were known for a famous saying, and many of us here know what that famous motto of theirs is, all for one and one for all. This has become a famous motto since then. In fact, it's become the official national motto for the country of Switzerland. It binds together that country. This is why that motto was chosen. This is why Dumas wrote that motto. It's because those musketeers, they value this principle above everything else. All for one and one for all. It's why Switzerland has chosen that motto. And thousands of other organizations and individuals or teams have adopted that motto because it binds the people together. It's a motto that has been chosen because as individuals we can't do it all on our own. Now if the secular world around us realizes this fact and they know that it's worthwhile to set aside their personal ambition for personal glory or to set away their stubborn pride of doing things their way in order to that the whole might be advanced. If the secular world can realize that, how much more important is it for us as Christians to take this kind of a motto seriously in light of what Scripture has just told us, in light of what we just heard through a couple of these testimonies? The body is not one part. I'm not looking at one person here today. The body is many. And as such, we cannot function in isolation. God, in Hebrews chapter 12, right at the start, He tells us that He has surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses. Of course, what that's referring to, if you go back one chapter, is that long list called the Hall of Faith of witnesses, saints who have done great things through the power of God. But you know what? Not just those witnesses are we surrounded with anymore. There are witnesses surrounding you in all of the chairs around you this morning. This is in addition to that already great cloud of witnesses. And you meet with these people. We meet with these people Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But are we team players? Are you a team player in the body of Christ? When I first came to Newcastle, one of the things that the elders expressed to me was the desire to see care groups started up. And the reasoning is simple. We are a growing church. This church is growing. The fact of the matter is that NFBC isn't just a church of a couple of dozen people. This church has been growing. And its growth hasn't just been numerical. The depth of spirituality of the believers who attend here, by and large, has been deepening. We praise God for that. And as a result, the numbers have been increasing because the world and Christians want to hear something solid. They want to hear the Word of God. The numbers have been increasing, not due to pragmatics, not due to man-centered church growth strategies, but because the Word of God is being preached, and people are being drawn to God, to a place where solid spiritual food is forthcoming week after week. The problem with this is, as it is with any organization that grows, whether it's church or not, but particularly an organization of believers like we are as a church, where we ought to be entering into one another's lives intimately to worship God, to help each other along. That there's an increasing distance that happens with numerical growth. There's an increasing anonymity that happens. And so care groups were deemed as one of the ways to solve this problem, to keep believers connected with one another. And I praise God to hear from Amanda and from Tony for the way that that has been happening. Because it is not enough for us to just grow only in our personal and individual relationship with God. In fact, I don't even think it's possible for us to grow fully in our personal relationship with God apart from our brothers and sisters growing with us, walking with us in faith, and entering into our lives. For anyone here who spent any deal of time in Scripture, you will know that one of the motifs that runs all through Scripture is covenant community, God's covenant community. One of the notions that we see from the beginning of Scripture to the end, from the creation of Eve for Adam because he was alone, to the establishing of Israel as a covenant community on Mount Sinai, right? All the way through to the book of Revelation and beyond that into eternity. Covenant community. Now perhaps nowhere is this more visible than in Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. When the Spirit of God had entered into the lives, and you can turn there, Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. When the Spirit of God entered into the lives of God's covenant people, those who were saved by the blood of Jesus, and the hearts of God's people began to beat, boom, 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 together. Their hearts began to beat together. They began to see and savor the joy of knowing God together. That's what we see in these verses. Read with me. Mark already read it, but read with me again. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And verse 44. Though all the believers were together. That's a special word. In English, we don't see it, but there's a construction here that's very, very unusual. I had to search far and wide to find what it meant. It's really strange. But it's a term that what we have is together there is a term that means it's a communion, a community that is extremely tight, particularly when it's on a spiritual level. All the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. That term again, right there. To meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house, celebrated their Savior. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Now as we read this text, and we use this text as a jumping off point for where we want to go, I want to say this. We want to avoid the legalistic tendency to make all of these things, exactly this picture, normative for believers today. We shouldn't look at this text with what theologians would call the regulative principle mindset. What that means is that whatever we see being done by the New Testament church is exactly what we are supposed to be doing today. And what we don't see being done by the New Testament church, we shouldn't be doing. So this isn't painting a picture of exactly what the church is supposed to be doing. And if we're not doing it this way, we're doing it wrong. However, if we look at the relationships that have suddenly, when the Spirit came upon these Christians, that suddenly has taken place amongst this ragamuffin crew of new believers, most of which, whom probably never really had anything to do with each other before, when we look at this picture, I think that we can come away thinking, this is a pretty ideal picture of what the church ought to look like. Furthermore, I think we would all say, at least in words, that this is what we should be like as a church body, at least this kind of togetherness. This is what I would love to see happening, not only in this church, but in every church worldwide. And I think, I know it's safe to say that as pastors in this church, this is the kind of thing that we would just long to see happen in its fullest form here and everywhere else. And so the relationship and the activities that are here mentioned in Acts chapter 2 really have been the ideal picture for what we want care groups, or how we want care groups to function and be set up. But you know, these things can seldom happen well when there are nearly 300 believers meeting together for an hour and a half or so, one time a week. We want every believer to be a team player, to be involved in worshiping Christ, in walking with Christ, and working for Christ, along with other members of the body, for the glory of Christ, and for the glory of our brothers and sisters around us. That's not unbiblical to say. Romans 8 says that. They will be glorified, right? That's what we want. We want people to work together, walk together, and worship together to do that. And because of this, care groups play an important part. Care groups are important. Care groups are important because they are built around those things which are essential for the growth of every Christian. And these are things that can't happen properly apart from having other believers to walk the Christian walk with. And I don't mean walking from a distance. Yeah, you know, we're on the same road and all our different roads are going to the kingdom. And I look over and I see Jacques over there on the other road. Hey, Jacques, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing today? How's the walk going? Oh, it's good, Noel. How's your walk? It's good. All right, we'll catch up again, I don't know, maybe in a few days or something like that. We walk together. We are walking together on the same road. That's what we want to be doing. Arm in arm, picking each other up if we need to when we hit those potholes. And so first of all, care groups are important for the study of God's Word. Now I think that nearly everyone in here knows the importance of studying God's Word. We see it in Acts chapter 2, our text, verse 42, where the very first thing that is mentioned of these new believers is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was none other than the Word of God. There was no completely written Bible at that point, and the teaching of the apostles was what became our New Testament. I think this is one of our strong suits here at NFBC. We love to study the Word of God, and that is awesome. That is so fantastic. We shouldn't be proud of it in an arrogant sort of way, because we need to remember that we are never, certainly never where we should be in this, but I think on the pass-fail mark, we are certainly on the wrong, on the right side here. We're certainly on the right side. Well, in our care group, we have the opportunity to meet weekly outside of the Sunday services to once again sound the depth, search out the mysteries of God's Word together, to understand who He is, to understand how He has worked through His great works throughout Scripture, to understand who we are, and to see ourselves in light of Scripture, and to have brothers and sisters help us in our understanding of how God's Word fits together to show us God's unfolding plan of redemption for all believers everywhere, and for me myself. Other brothers and sisters who can show us and help us to understand how it speaks to us today. How does it speak to me today? It's good to study God's Word on our own time, and I hope that everybody does. But if you ask any esteemed theologian or any esteemed Bible scholar, and they're going to tell you that it is not, you cannot study the Bible in isolation on your own. They'll tell you of the importance of studying God's Word with other believers, with people from other cultures and other backgrounds and of different ages. You know, I've been amazed in my life of some of the insights that have come from people who are almost new believers because they see it so simply sometimes. And I'm caught up in this complex structure of thought, and they make it clear to me. I remember doing prison ministry one time, and this guy who never said a word sitting in the back, and one day we were teaching something, somebody asked a question, I didn't know the answer, and he said, well, it's clear, and he gives this amazing theological answer. I said, where did you learn this? He said, well, I just became a believer last year. I've just been reading my Bible every day. My own wife, who is from a different culture, I love being able to read Scripture and have her explain it to me sometimes, because my own cultural background, what I've been raised in, keeps me from understanding certain metaphors or pictures. I'll ask her, and she can say, well, this makes sense, and this is why, and it just becomes so clear all of a sudden. It's important to have other brothers and sisters help us along as we study Scripture. Care groups are important for the study of God's Word. Last year, I was walking into a local store here in Newcastle, and I ran into one of the members of our church there. So I immediately asked, how's it going? How are you doing? And I was saddened to hear the response. They weren't doing very well. In fact, on the verge of tears. And then they proceeded to apologize to me. Not that I need to be, or any of the pastors here need to be apologized to this, but that they hadn't been out to church for 4 weeks. But I was shocked to find that out. You see, I hadn't noticed that they hadn't been there for 4 weeks. So I apologized. I felt awful. So I asked, expecting a whole answer, has anybody called you? The answer was no. You see, this believer had fallen on hard times, and they were really struggling, but nobody knew it. And it's not because people don't care. I know that people here care. But it's because it's really hard to notice in a church that's this size sometimes. But in Acts chapter 2, we see the church engaged in incredible mutual care for one another. And care groups are important for this reason as well, because of mutual care. Care groups are important for mutual care. Now the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as there was need, as anyone had need. But how often are we simply not able to do this for brothers and sisters because we just don't know that they're in need? Maybe you have been in times of need. Financial need, maybe, spiritual need, emotional need, whatever, and just nobody in the church had a clue. It's not that they didn't care, they just didn't have a clue. Care groups provide a way for us, whatever our gift may be, as hands, as feet, as arms, as ears, as eyebrows, maybe even as freckles, to know what is going on in each other's lives so that we can provide mutual care for one another. Whether it be in a serious crisis situation, or maybe it's just an occasional listening ear that in a simple prayer for another person. In 1966, Simon and Garfunkel, some of you guys know who Simon and Garfunkel is, a folksy rock duo, they released a hit single called "I Am a Rock." Okay, some of you guys know this song, right? I am a rock. I am an island. Right? You know that song, right? That's a song in which they go on and on and on about how, you know, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. It's better, in fact, it's better off not to be dependent on people. People let you down, man. Better off this way. But later on, years later, Paul Simon stated in an interview how much he and Garfunkel had come to hate this song. In fact, they don't play it. They disown that song. Because it was written in a time of self-pity, and he said it's a selfish song. It's an arrogant song. They learned that no man or woman is a rock or an island to themselves. And that without the care of others and caring for others, people start to fall apart. Now, if an unbeliever like Paul Simon can realize that, why can't we believers realize that when it's all over Scripture? We need to kill, and we may not even know that we have it, but we need to kill that self-righteous spirit by which we might even quote Scripture saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, with an emphasis on the I. Let me tell you that if God has made you part of a body of believers, you had better take advantage of being a part of that body. Or you will be a rock, or you will be an island, but you will be so to your own spiritual destruction. So care groups are important for mutual care of one another. But they're also important for accountability, not just doing numbers. You said in that video. They're important for accountability, closely related to mutual care. But just as none of us is meant to be a rock or island in terms of care, neither can we be a rock or an island in terms of our growing in our personal relationships with God. Brothers and sisters, you know it. You don't live in a friendly world. Christians have never lived in a world that is friendly to your Christianity. We live in a world with both seen and with unseen powers that are beyond count, that are beyond our understanding. Seen and unseen. That means for every billboard that you see which sprawled with a half-naked woman on it, or for every temptation to click a mouse and enter into a world of sin, there are unseen powers behind you that are pushing you and nudging you into that direction. For every moment where someone else gets the kind of look or word of approval that maybe as a mom you don't get, but somebody else gets. Or the boss gives to somebody else, but you don't get. There is Satan behind the scenes salivating. He's thinking, I know I can harden his heart or her heart toward that person. Maybe toward somebody who needs the gospel. For every false appearance of biblical holiness or spirituality, there is the need to be accountable to brothers or sisters in Christ. No temptation has overtaken you. Like when the NIV says it better. No temptation has seized you except what is common to all humanity. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Did you hear that? Take to heart. No temptation has seized you except what is common to everybody else. We all have the same struggle. Now mind you, men and women do have different struggles. It's one of the reasons that some of the groups we encourage to break into the two different parts at a certain point in the group so that there's added transparency and things like that to allow for honesty. But listen, none of your struggles are things that others don't know about. But I know that word, accountability, that is an icky word, isn't it? Who needs a babysitter? You're a grown-up, right? The word accountability has such negative tones for us, doesn't it? And whereas the study of the Word of God, that may be our strong suit, I think that biblical accountability is truly on the other end of the spectrum for most of us. And I'm also willing to bet that if there's one thing that is likely, and what I'm talking about today, to keep you from joining a care group, this will probably be it. But listen to me for a minute, and I want you to pray about this and think about this. Ask God to search your heart about this, truly trusting God when He says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to all people. Trusting that the sin that you're struggling with has been struggled with 1,000 times before. And then ask yourself if you're doing any better with it on your own. And ask yourself if it wouldn't be beneficial to have another brother or sister to walk alongside you, to encourage you in those times of doubt. To walk alongside you and to speak reason to you in those times of temptation. And you know what? To walk alongside you to pick you, to help you back up when you fall. And know that bearing your soul to others, that's not something that comes naturally to anyone. It comes with time. It comes with trust. But I can tell you and so many others in here can tell you as well, that when you are able to do that and have others help you bear the load is so much lighter. And you know what, guys? I have to confess, pastors are we're the worst for this kind of thing. Always feeling that they have to maintain the image and the example of somebody who's above reproach. But it doesn't matter who we are. The load is more than any one man can carry. Well, there was one man who could carry that load. That was Christ. But he's given us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as a means of bearing our burden. You know, we love to quote the verse, Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. But what does this mean, other than we ought to allow others to speak into our lives, to hold us accountable to the standard of God's Word for the sake of your and my personal holiness? What does it mean, other than that? Shared groups are important for accountability. Now, if there's one item that I have heard more complaints about is that care groups seek to undermine our prayer meetings at this church. But we need to understand that the care groups are actually a place for prayer. I want you to know that. They're a place where prayer happens. In fact, the amount of prayer that has been happening in the church has increased tremendously because of care groups. Care groups are a place for prayer. And not just typical, you know, your typical Canadian prayers, right, that we always pray in churches here in Canada. You know, the prayer for anything and anyone else except for me. My neighbor's nephew, you know, he's got a polyp in his throat, and maybe he does. You should pray about that. Care groups are a time for believers to join together, to pray for one another in those very things that have been brought up during those times of mutual care and accountability. They provide us with a time where we can really enter into prayer for one another. Like the believers in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 4. For they're always praying together for one another. Not just Aunt Sally's bunion. So care groups are important, because they provide a place for us to pray with our brothers and sisters. I know Pastor Jock, last Sunday night, he spoke about the importance of prayer. And if you want to pray, you really want to pray, then enter into the personal lives of others, perhaps through a care group, and allow them to enter into yours to pray together. These are the things that happen, at least we want to happen, in care groups. This is why we want believers to become involved in care groups. Not because we want to have another program. In fact, I abhor programs. I abhor church programs. We don't want big numbers in another program, but because we want to see people growing in Christ. And when we start to grow in our prayer, in our purity, and in our passion for Christ, we're going to see other things happen as well. We're going to see one other thing definitely happen. And look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47, our last verse for this morning. Or at least the last verse of our text. Verse 47, and every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. And this is the final component why care groups are important, because we want to see healthy growth. Care groups are important for the healthy growth of God's kingdom. Not just spiritual growth for those who are already believers, but souls being added into God's kingdom. We want to become groups that support one another in our personal evangelistic efforts. One of the things that Regina and I have wanted to do is we want to have a block party for all of our neighbors so we can make connections there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we just simply can't do it on our own. We don't have the time. We don't have the money for all that kind of food. But we know that when we get into a care group, that's going to be possible as we share it with the other people in the care group. And I know people are going to come together to help us do that and have the neighbors in. We want to see God's kingdom grow through the care group. I know one care group raised money to help an unbelieving family that was in crisis, a crisis situation. And when they asked where the money came from, they were told it was from Christians. Isn't that crazy? Christians, they didn't know them. When believers can come together in these little care groups and develop a heart for the lost can be reached for the gospel together as a community. Care groups are important in the healthy growth of God's kingdom. Brother or sister, I want to ask it again this morning, are you a team player? Or do you have the tendency to think, I am a rock? I am an island. I am a bastion of Christian fortitude standing here on my own. Come ask me questions and I'll show you the way. If you're a Christian, then you are part of the team. You're a member of the body of Jesus Christ. That's not a painful obligation. That's a glorious truth. You're a member of the body of Christ. You have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you that other members of the body of Christ can't survive without. They have gifts that you cannot survive without. But our culture has been crafted by the forces of this world to ensure that we don't have the time, that we don't have the attitude, that we don't have the resources, that we don't have the desires to enter into the lives of other believers. Our culture has been crafted very meticulously to make that happen. That's our world. But we are not of this world. We are citizens of another world. We are citizens of another kingdom. And we live by another standard. We need to make time and know that we must contribute and we must be contributed to. My dear brothers and sisters, we are a covenant community. When I say my dear, I mean that. When I look at you, you are my people. We are a covenant community. Praise God for that provision in my life. So I want to encourage each of you this morning to think about taking the opportunity to enter into covenant with a small group of believers. If you want to, there are sign-up sheets at the information desk. I printed out a bunch this morning. Sign up there. You know what? You don't have to do it this morning. If you want some time to think about it, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be out there for a while. If you want to enter into that, sign up back at that table out in the lobby. Let's think about, at least think about, becoming involved in a care group so that we might be all for one and one for all. Together. Together. To worship Christ. And to walk with Christ together. And to work for Christ together. For the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for all your infinite multitude of blessings that you have bestowed upon us. But this morning, Lord, particularly, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are in this room. I thank you that I can look out at any one of them and know that my heart beats to the exact same drum as theirs. Lord, but I am to be pitied if I try and walk on my own. Lord, I know there are people here this morning that are walking on their own. I know that all too often I try to walk on my own.
but we are part of one body. All by your gracious provision. So that we can sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. So that we can build one another up into Christ. And so Lord, I want to pray that as people are called, that people would take advantage of these care groups if they know that they need some of what I talked about this morning. I think we all do to a certain extent. But I want to pray that that you would help us to take advantage of those provisions. We want to walk together for your glory, not so that we can be part of a club or something like a baseball team or a fire department or something like that, where we can all hang out and have a good time. That's part of what the result of being part of this covenant community is. But our purpose is to glorify you together and in our own personal lives. Lord, let us not be rocks or islands. Let us be ears and eyes that know that we are part of a body and praise you for that and consume what you've provided for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.